The winner of the Newcomb Medal for 2023 is Alex de Minaur.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the AO Show with me, John Hoovenaars. Season 2023 has officially come to an end, and we're now just 2 weeks away from the Australian Summer of Tennis for 24. Here's what's coming up. Alex de Minaur takes home the top gong at the Australian Tennis Awards.
I think this is just the beginning, so there's many more to come.
Craig Tiley on what's in store for the fans and the players at the AO.
Players that show up and the excitement that they have about being here, being in the summer, sun shining.
And Stefanos Tsitsipas on why Novak Djokovic is still the man to beat.
It feels like every single tournament he comes back from the dead and just always finds solutions.
That's all ahead on the AO Show.
Well, when we're starting the show with the boss, it means the Australian Open must be getting close. And at last count, it was 1 month today. Craig Tiley, welcome to the AO Show.
Good to be back, John. In fact, this morning coming in early, the first person I saw said, "Do you realise today is a month to go?" I mean, the time goes by so quickly, and probably the next time we have a chat, we'll be right in the middle of it. And so, yeah, we're excited about it. It was fun walking around the site today, see how the setup's going. Everything's on track. There have been a few challenges we would normally have, sometimes with heat, sometimes with rain. The team's got through that and incredibly proud of the team, what they're delivering on the ground. It's looking, for some reason this year, the structures look bigger to me, and I think that's going to be something fun for all our fans to see.
It started a couple of months ago. I think it usually starts with the grandstands going in the outside courts, but just paint the picture for our listeners what you've seen taking shape around the precinct.
Well, we start bumping in 75 days before the event starts, and we'll move 60,000 items on site on average. And so that's a significant logistical exercise. And these aren't small items. These are large items.
Who's counting that, by the way?
Well, the operations team's counting that to make sure logistically everything is done right. So they are the best in the world at what they do. They know exactly how they do it. And then the tough part is, you know, the bumping out is less than half that time. So taking it all out, which sometimes takes longer, they've got to do it in a short period of time. So we've had a very short window to bump in and bump out and then you know, entertain our fans for 5 weeks here in Melbourne. But it is shaping up to be great. We've got, you know, we haven't heard anything different from the players other than those that have already signed up, committed, entered. Got an unbelievable field. The cut is extremely low, meaning that, you know, every top player and every player that can play is playing. I think there's only a couple injuries, which is very unusual this time of the year. We're normally dealing with a lot more. So hopefully they will come in and healthy, ready to play. Some are already here training and getting ready. And I know I'm pretty excited about what our fans are going to experience. We have a position every year that a minimum of 50% of the event you experienced last year is going to change, a minimum.
Is that right?
So it's a pretty high bar. So any fan that comes last year, they're going to get a different experience the following year.
Yeah, okay. So how do you measure that then?
Again, on what you're changing. You know, there will be some things. Grand Slam Oval is the Grand Slam Oval, but things that are around it are all going to be different. So the shade would be the same. We put the same shade over Grand Slam Oval, but the entertainment on the north and south and east and west of it will be different. We're adding Garden Square. We had Garden Square last year, but this year we're adding Garden Square with a massive shade structure, bigger screen, and different entertainment, an open bar around it. You know, we had nice stands on the court last year, but this year we're replacing it on several of the courts with a two-story bar where fans can have a drink and look over the left shoulder and be watching the tennis, maybe a bit more rowdy than they normally would be. So we're creating that energetic court or more rowdy, noisy court for the general fan. More shade around, 300% more shade around the site. So if you were standing out in the sun last year, it's likely in that same spot you're going to now be standing in shade. So many changes, and what doesn't change is the players that show up and the excitement that they have about being here, being in the summer, sun shining, most down from the northern hemisphere where it's cold and grim right now, but to be down here and to compete and to be welcomed by our team, which are the best at doing it.
And the players have already started arriving. We had Matteo Arnaldi, Borna Coric, training here the other day. I think Jess Pegula's just touched down in Perth ahead of the United Cup. So have you been in touch with some of the early arrivals?
Yeah, seen some of the early arrivals. It's nice to say hi. We're still a construction site, so we've got another couple of weeks to get it done. But they have courts where they can play and practice. And I'm getting calls from players every single day about wanting to come early. And we're providing them with that service to be able to do it. So, yeah, so, you know, they're doing what they can to get ready to play.
You mentioned the field before. It is something incredible, this field that's going to be taking the courts come January 14, which is a Sunday, we have to reiterate, Sunday start. Nick Kyrgios, unfortunately, will again miss his home slam. How did you receive that news last week?
Well, first of all, looking forward to seeing Nick. Nick will be here, just unfortunately not playing. But for him, the most important thing is that he's got to feel like he's ready to play and over an injury before he can play. And he'll make that decision in the due course this year. But he's going to entertain us in other ways, and he'll be letting us know that. But I think it's going to be fun having him around. And I always like to see Nick, and he brings a different element to the environment, and one thing that does draw the attraction of fans and interest of others.
Sounds like he's got his fingers in a lot of other pies too. We've seen him with the commentary. He's appeared on two very high-profile talk shows in the past fortnight. He's been popping up in video clips with hip-hop stars. There's no problems for Nick post-tennis, is there?
No, he's an entertainer. I think when he wakes up in the morning, I think, you know, he's an athlete first and a great tennis player, championship tennis player, but he's also an entertainer. And he's one of the few players globally that actually can cross between entertainment and sport and tennis as well as he does.
He has mentioned on one hand he would have liked to have retired already, on the other hand that he wants to play for another 2 years. What's the message you're getting from his team?
It's hard to know. He's got to be healthy to play. And if he feels like he's healthy to play, then he plays. It's pointless going on the court if you can't be in a position to win the match that you're going on for. And so I agree with that. And so that's entirely up to him, and we'll support him, whatever decision he makes on that.
Newcombe medal on Monday night. What were your highlights from the evening?
It's a great night. Well, first of all, I've been to many sporting award nights and celebration nights, and I think the team that put the, and I'm not biased in this one, I'm just being factually honest, is that the team that put the Newcombe medal together are the best. It's a short night. It's 3 hours. It's run to the minute. There's not these long speeches. There's a great recognition. There's a great presentation. The production of it's excellent. You know, 900 people fill the room. It's all about the community. It's about the grassroots. It's about diversity and inclusion, equality. It's all about the great things that our sport represents. So you come away from that night feeling really, really good about yourself, about the sport. So it's a magnificent celebration. Alex Di Meno, the winner of the Newcombe medal, the deserved winner of the Newcombe medal. He has done everything this year, you know, getting just inside the top, close to the top 10, and the success he's had, the performance he did for us in Davis Cup again. So he was deserved of it, but great candidates to choose from. Storm Sanders, number one in the world in doubles. And you know, it's been a while since we've had a player finish number one. Also, just today was announced they're the number one team in the world, her and Mertens. So it was a great night. And we always know when we have the Newcombe medal, it's then head down and away you go, getting ready for the summer and welcoming everyone.
So Alex Di Meno was crowned the most outstanding player of season 2023, and I caught up with him shortly after the award ceremony. Alex, thank you so much for joining us today, and a hearty congratulations from the Tennis Australian community on your second Newcombe medal.
Thank you very much.
What does it mean to you to be recognised in front of all your peers from the grassroots level right up to the high performance as, I guess, the best contributor and the most spirited contributor to Australian tennis in 2023?
Yeah, honestly, it's a huge honour, and it's just amazing to see what Australian tennis has done this year, and to be able to see all the results, all the fellow teammates going out there and playing some of their best tennis. It's been a joy to watch, a joy to be kind of a part of, and I think we've got a strong 2024 coming in, and hopefully we can do even better than we did this year.
An ATP 500 title for you, a 200th career win, another Davis Cup final, so many highlights, but what are the one or two that stand out for you in your season?
Yeah, look, I think this year there's been a couple firsts for me, which is always nice. Being able to kind of clinch a ATP 500, get my biggest title to date, and then making the final of Toronto, first Masters. There were quite special moments. And I think overall how I was able to perform against the top 10 players, which was one of the big focuses through the years to improve kind of my win-to-loss ratio against the top players in the world. And I felt like I was able to do that this year. So extremely happy with the progress.
Something you said in your acceptance speech by video is that the Newcomb Medal is one of the accolades that you dream about or think about as a kid. It struck me because the Newcomb Medal is only about 10 or 12 years old. And I think for generations older than you, it wasn't ever an option. But for you, you've really, your whole professional career and part of your junior career has been with the spotlight of the Newcomb Medal as an option. Can you speak to that a little bit and how it shaped your attitude as a player?
Well, look, I was fortunate enough to be invited as a junior athlete to the Newcomb Medal. And from then on, really realizing how important and what the achievement and the medal itself meant. And for me, that was always a big focus and something I always wanted to achieve, which was, you know, to do my part or do the best that I can in an individual performance representing Australia, but also try to lift up those around me and create a good culture and a nice camaraderie between, you know, all of the players around and hopefully lift together. So for me, that's always been kind of a dream of mine. And I'm glad that I was able to achieve it. But saying that, I think this is just the beginning. So there's many more to come.
Absolutely. Well, if this is the beginning, let's treat next year as the middle of your career. What would you like to achieve or tick off in 2024?
Well, look, I think it's no secret that I want to be amongst the midst with the best players in the world. And I believe that's, you know, breaking into the top 10. That's obviously going to be a big goal of mine. I know it's going to be tough. I'm quite close. But yeah, there's still a lot of work to be done. So hopefully I can knuckle down, have a good start to the Australian summer and put myself in a good position to hopefully break that barrier.
It starts for you guys in Perth with the United Cup back again and a really interesting group with USA and Great Britain.
Well, look, on the men's side, we've got, I think, two very high-quality players and tough opponents, right? So, to be honest, it's probably one of the best ways to start off the year because you're starting off with a bang. It's going to be tough from the get-go. Team GB, obviously Cameron Norrie, who got the better of me at the start of this year, so hopefully I can get my revenge there. And in Team USA, Taylor Fritz, which we've had plenty of battles recently, so it's going to be another battle coming in next year. And now what makes it a little bit more interesting is obviously on the girls' side, having to play against potentially Katie, which is going to be, you know, it's going to be quite weird. I'm not too sure what to expect. I don't know if we're going to be allowed to sledge on the sidelines or not. There's some blurred lines over there, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Will this be the first time you might have to be cheering for your country against your girlfriend in a professional match?
Yeah, look, I mean, I already told her that I bleed green and gold, so you know she better get ready for whatever happens. I'm going to be, you know, maybe sledging her here and there. Hope she doesn't take it too bad. But yeah, our worst thing that could ever happen is us losing to GB because I'll never hear the end of it. So I'll be very motivated to win that match.
Fantastic. Everyone is looking forward to that tie in particular when the United Cup gets underway later this month. And then further afield to the Australian Open beginning January 14, you'll be leading the Australian charge once again. What does it mean to lead your home nation into the first slam of the year?
It's an exciting time of the year for all of us Aussies. I think we all thrive playing in our home country, in a home slam. We always seem to find an extra level when competing at home. So I think we're just all excited. We're lucky enough to start off the year at home and, yeah, just show what we're made of, especially in the Aussie heat. A lot of the foreigners aren't ready for the Aussie heat, and I know all of us Aussies, we're born and raised there, so we'll be ready to go.
So you're currently home in Spain, but when will you come back to your real home and start preparing for the summer?
Well, I'll be arriving on the 24th. So I've got a couple more days here in Monaco, finishing off pre-season, and then I'll head over to Sydney for a couple of days and then over to Perth and, you know, get ready to start in my real home.
Fantastic. And finally, a message to your fans back here, maybe in light of the Newcombe medal win and also ahead of the Aussie summer.
Well, as always, I really appreciate your guys' support. It means the world. I'm going to keep on doing my part step by step, always trying to get the best out of myself. And, you know, hopefully I can put some great results in front of you guys and give you something to cheer about over the Australian summer. And hopefully all of the other Aussies do the same. So I'm looking forward to it.
Craig, one other thing that was announced on the night was the new Billie Jean King Cup captain for the Australian women's team, and Sam Stosur, a very worthy candidate.
We did the public press announcement this morning with Sam, and she spoke extremely well, answered some of the tough questions well. She's well rehearsed on this because she's been doing it. And, you know, a few highlights of Sam. She's played on the team, on our national team, for 20 years and has most singles wins, 29 singles wins of anyone. And people forget Sam's won 8 Grand Slam titles, and one of them being a singles title, the 2011 US Open. So a very accomplished player. And it's not often that you can get an accomplished player, Grand Slam champion. She's just completed a junior development course that goes through a coaching certification and then turns up and leads the national team like she's going to, taking over from one of our greats in Alicia Molik for the last 10 years. And we thank Alicia for her contribution, an absolute superstar. Happy she's still going to be involved in the sport, in leading different aspects of it. But there's no question in my mind that Sam's going to be a great captain. And, you know, and we're very lucky in Australia. We're able to draw from a wide pool of excellent candidates that that put their hand up for the job. And I think we're always going to have that luxury.
What was unique about her presentation or her skill set when she applied for the role?
I think she's very well received by the players. There was a strong advocacy from the playing group for Sam. So she's well liked by the playing group, the current playing group, some of the younger players who are our future playing group. She's just got a great way about her, the way she approaches it. She brings you into her world and she's really interested in what you do, really cares about what you do. She'll put her team together. And we're very lucky. We've got some coaches that are the best coaches in the world that could support her and support the growth of the women's game. And we've got a lot of players outside the top 100 that are doing well. A lot of young players, top 10 junior in the world. And we need to work on getting more of those inside the top 100. And with Dasha coming back and Isla coming back and the success of Arena and others that have done really well. And, you know, Stormy Sanders, is, you know, we must not forget that success. So, so I think it's be a good time for women's tennis. There's going to be a couple of years of transition, which Sam will lead, and she'll put a team together to help her do that.
Yeah, it sounds like women's tennis is in good hands with Sam Stosur. Finally, 30 days to go. Well, 31, including today, until the Australian Open. What do the next 4 weeks look like in the Tiley household and in the Tennis Australia offices?
Yeah, well, I think in the Tennis Australia household, it's just really getting everything done that we need to get done. And we are a microcosm of the general population. So we are going to have challenges. We're going to have issues. We're going to have to manage some weather challenges. We over the whole month of January and half of December getting ready. So we know that, and I think our team's well-versed to respond to that, and we don't panic about it. We just know that's what's going to be thrown at us, and we will deal with it when it comes. And I think that, and we'll stay, you know, we'll stay with what we know, what we do best, and that's prepare and deliver an event for our fans. If the weather's good, we expect record-breaking crowds. Certainly our ticket sales have indicated that, but a lot is going to be dependent on great weather. And so the next 4 weeks is going to be every single day. I mostly now have flipped to responding to requests.
Okay.
And probably, I think I got, you know, not accreditation is one of them, but a whole bunch of different requests directly. I don't mind that they come direct on those requests because then you push them out to the team to manage. And the reason for that is that it enables you to have a connection with that making the request so that you can deal with some of their issues directly as well.
Dealing with requests and delegating to your team sounds a bit like Santa up at the North Pole receiving wish lists from all the children and sending out the presents.
And from tennis players, I want to win the Australian Open, I'm sure. But Santa and the rest of Australia in a different thinking mode right now than our team would be here at tennis.
I like it. Craig, thank you very much for joining us. Have a very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I'll see you back here in January.
Thanks, John. Same to you. And well done to the podcast, and look forward to having chats and about a bunch of different things. You're going to have a lot of things to talk about, so you're going to, distilling it to a few key things will be the challenge.
See you next season.
See ya.
Our guest today is a man who's probably more popular in Melbourne than just about anywhere else on earth, and soon he'll be back in our backyard, swamped by a sea of Greek fans for another crack at the Australian Open. I speak of 2023 finalist Stefanos Tsitsipas. Welcome to the AO Show, Steph.
Thank you for having me.
Give us a little bit of an update on your rehab and how you're tracking ahead of the upcoming season.
Well, I have started working out the last few days, and my preseason is looking good. I always choose Middle East as my destination for my preseason training, and it has served me well in the last few years. I really like it here. It's a great stop before heading to Australia, which is one of my favorite destinations. My home slam is located there. There are a lot of great things and events that take place in Australia, an extraordinary country that offers so much beauty outside and on court as well. There are a lot of great fans. I always associate Australia with great fans because I do get a lot of great support down there. And it's a lot of fun to be performing in cities around the country.
I like how you call it your home slam. Is that a new addition to the vernacular there, or it's always been close to home since you first visited 8 years ago?
It has always been special. It has always had a special place in my heart visiting Australia. And the very first time that I did visit Australia, I did get an understanding of how warm and nice people are there. But also the Greek community, let's not forget about them, because they are so vibrant and so intense. And they bring in so much energy every single year for all their Greek athletes. There's a lot of pride for heritage and our people, and I feel like they bring great things into the courts, and they also keep us motivated, me and Maria. I don't know about Maria so much. I haven't spoken with her about that, but for me, it's I get really pumped and really motivated playing in front of them, and I do feel like the climate there is very similar to the climate that I grew up playing in.
Yeah, I can imagine that's really helpful. Speaking of Maria, the two of you have shared the court on many occasions before, at the Hopman Cup, at the Olympic Games, earlier this year at the United Cup. What makes the two of you such a good combination in your mind?
Well, we refuse to give up. We both fight relentlessly, and we try and utilize every single weapon that we have in our artillery to make this work for both of us. If we have to rally both from a baseline, we're capable of doing that. If I'm sometimes required to come to the nets, I'm able to do that. I feel like Maria is a pretty complete player herself, being able to play at any given moment anywhere within the court. And that helps me a lot as a guy to be playing sometimes mixed doubles with her. And it makes for a lot of fun getting to play with such a fighter like Maria, who refuses to give up, who even at her worst days, refuses to let that sort of overtake her. And we always tend to find ways, whether it's a storm or, well, sunshine is not required to find ways, but whether it's a storm or an even bigger thunderstorm, we're still able to find ways around it.
Well, for the United Cup, Greece will be one of just three teams, along with Poland and USA, to have both its top men's and women's singles player ranked inside the top 10. For you, you've been a mainstay here since March 2019, and that's testament to your consistency over 4 years. Not quite Rafa's 17 and a half year stint in the top 10, but I imagine it's a pretty good indication that you're doing a lot right as a player.
I am doing a lot of right, and I still have capacities of doing a lot more writer, let's say. And I haven't been able to break through that gap to push through in terms of performance and maximizing as much as I can in my own personal best. Every single year is a new opportunity for me to kind of start fresh, and my eyes are always into how can I improve more and what can I do more for my body and for my own personal well-being and development and just general activity in whatever I'm doing every single year so that I can improve. Right now, we have a lot of great players out here on the tour playing great tennis. I felt like there was a time, let's say 4 or 5 years ago, where things were slightly different. We saw a bit of a transition there. And I feel like things are much more steady now. Like there's literally a great variety of players that can just push each other to the limits. And that is probably the most challenging period of my tennis career so far, to find ways to beat those guys, to find ways to pass them in the rankings, to find ways to stay consistently up there with them, hopefully in front of them and not behind them, because I feel like the last few months I've been behind them, and that is not a pleasant feeling. Yes, as I said, my ambition is higher than that, and the consistency of it matters a lot too.
I am curious to get sort of your perspective on where you see yourself in the game at the moment. You just gave us a little bit of a clue there, but I'd like you to expand on, okay, so you've got the band of 21, 22-year-olds coming up who are seriously talented. You've also got the Novaks and the Nadals at the end of their careers, let's say. Where do you see yourself in that mix of players at the moment at the start of 2024?
Where do I see myself? Right where my ranking indicates me, that's where I see myself. I feel like I've owned that spot. But at the same time, I feel like it doesn't really resonate with me entirely. I've been higher. Well, my point is not to sound arrogant or anything like that. I just feel like there is a bigger gap for me to enter. And I did have my fair share of blank, empty spots, I like to call, during the season, where I wasn't able to fill that up with points and such good performances. And I feel like if I'm able to stay consistent on what I do and my results and the journey, basically, if I'm able to just stick to a good mindset from January till December next year. And what I mean by that is I don't really have to win every single tournament. That's not a realistic goal for me. That would be absolutely marvelous if I'm able to do that and ecstatic. But what I'm praying and what I'm hoping and what I'm working towards is getting a consistent semis, finals in most events that I get to play. I would be entirely happy if that's 85% of the tournaments that I get to play next season. And that would probably get me a good opportunity to finish within the top three. And let's see from there. I mean, we have Novak Djokovic, who is number one, it feels like every single tournament, he comes sometimes back from the dead and he's able to win those tournaments. Just always find solutions, which is super impressive for most of us. I hope we can just find a way to get there and start owning our own zone and maybe also show our real potential finally, once. All I'm asking is just once.
Lovely. That's a great answer. On the United Cup, just quickly, your group B is going to be one of the most highly sought after tickets because we've got Canada, Chile, and your country, Greece. Tell us about how you plan to tackle the likes of Nicholas, Jarry, and Felix.
These are tough opponents. I've played them multiple times. They can play really good tennis. In my opinion, Nicholas Jarry is a player that is playing level. I feel like he's ranked within the between 20s and 30s, if I'm not mistaken. He's a player that can hit big from the baseline. I feel like, you know, it's a tough first start for Team Greece. Talking about Felix, on the other end, he's a player that has been also consistently, mostly in the top 10 as well, if not in the top 20. He has a good game, serious good game, and it's all a matter of who's going to be better prepared and who is going to be able to get their hands dirty early into the season, because these are dirty jobs that you have to take care of directly when you enter the season.
It all kicks off with Chile on January 2 for Greece, and followed by Canada the very next day on January 3. Hey, can you just finish us off with a message to your Greek fans here in Melbourne and in Sydney, considering coming to see you this summer?
Sure. I would just like to thank everyone for all their support, every single Aussie swing that there has been so far. I've had a lot of fun playing those. I've had a lot of fun traveling around Australia and just seeing Greeks show up on courts everywhere. It just feels amazing to get that. And this year in Sydney, I had probably one of the best Greek supporters that I have ever had in any tournament competition in my life. I've had an amazing atmosphere being built up during my match with Italy, and it left me with some memorable, intense memories that live rent-free inside my head. And I've enjoyed every single minute of it on court. It's been an absolute pleasure. Greeks, Ellenes, as we call them, please come and support us in Sydney. If you have the capacity and the allowance from your boss to come also to Melbourne, if you're living in Sydney, for some extra support in Melbourne, because that definitely doesn't happen every single day, and it's worth the flight.
Fantastic. Great to catch up, Steph. Thank you for joining me today on the AO Show.
Bye-bye.
That's all for this week's episode of the AO Show. Join us again next week for the latest tennis news, views and interviews for the final time for Season 5. Happy birthday this week to Arina Rodionova, Barbora Krejcikova and Lizette Cabrera. If you'd like to get in touch, you can contact us via ozopen.com/listen or email the AO Show at tennis.com.au. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and please consider leaving a rating or review so more fans can discover the AO Show.